So we're going to start here at the bottom, three words from the end, which is V'ika D'matni Lo. Gemara here is continuing to discuss the machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, where we had the opinion of Reish Lakish was Loshna El Etzem, that it can function as a yad. A bone can function as a yad. Avo Neima, when you're talking about a hair, Lo Hab Yad, that doesn't function as a yad. Yochanan disagreed and says that Etzem Hab Yad, and Neima Hab Yad, that a hair and a bone can function as a yad. Then, Eitvei Rabbi Yochanan the Reish Lakish. Yochanan challenged Reish Lakish from a braita, which is, Or Sheish Alav Gzayit Basar Nogia Betziv, Eitzim Mena Vassarak Negdo Tamei. And then we had the different answers that the Gemara went through. Now the Gemara is going to speak about this machloket again, and say that the whole situation was actually mentioned on our Mishnah, which is Zika D'matni Lo Amatznitin. It was referencing our Mishnah. Haor, Varote, Ve'akipa. The items that we mentioned in our Mishnah that are mitztarveif. They're mitztarfim, letamei, tumatochlim. They join the underlying ochel to be included in the minimum shiur that is required in order to be mitamei, which is a kebetza. So Amar Reish Lakish, on that, Reish Lakish says, Lo shanu ela etzem, tehavi shomer. That's only true that an etzem, where you have the marrow on the inside, that's a shomer. Avol neima lo habi shomer. Hair does not function as a shomer. Yochanan amar, afilu neima nami habi shomer. Yochanan says even a hair can function as a shomer. So whereas before we said the machloket between them was regarding yad, and that an etzem can function as a handle, but a neima cannot function as a handle, over here we're talking about shomer, which is our Mishnah. And we're saying that an etzem, according to Reish Lakish, can function as a shomer, as some sort of protective casement, whereas a neima here doesn't function that way. Rabbi Yochanan says, sure it does. Neima can function in the same way. A hair can function in the same way. Amalei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Umiika shomer al gabshi shomer. What's a hair as a shomer? Where do you find the hair? But we're talking about the cases over here. We're talking about or. You're talking about or. You're talking about a hide that has basar on it. So what's functioning as the shomer here? The hide. Then you have hair on top of the hide. So that's a shomer, al gabi shomer. The hair that is a protective coating is sitting on top of the skin. It's protecting the skin. It's not protecting the basar. What's protecting the basar is the or. And we have a shomer, al gabi shomer. It says, chulchule mechalchel. When it comes to the hairs, the follicle goes all the way through the skin. The hair follicle goes through the whole skin, which means that it is a whole. If you just had the skin there protecting the basar, and you had no hair, then you would leave behind a series of holes that were occupied by the hair follicles. So the hair follicles are filling the holes that would otherwise be left, and therefore they're acting directly as a shomer over the basar, not as a protection of the or. If that's the case, elmiato tefillin, hechikat tefillin. How do we write tefillin? What do we put tefillin on a klaf? So if you take the cloth, we take the hair off the cloth. You take the hair off the cloth. If you're saying that the hair follicles reach all the way through the or, and when you remove them, you leave holes behind, habina ktiva tama. One of the requirements by tefillin is that it be a clear and total writing. Total in the sense that you can't have breaks. You can't have holes in the cloth, because otherwise you'll get skipping in the letters when you write across the holes. So veleka, and you don't have that now based on what you're saying. Ishtamitate, he forgot. Ha Damri b'marova, that which they say in Eretz Yisrael, kol nekev she'dyo over alav, any hole that is so small that when you run the kumus, when you run the quill over the hole, the ink fills the hole to the point that it's not visible anymore, that's not a problem. Ain't no nekev, that's not called a hole. A hole is something that creates a gapping in the letter. If it's a hole that the quill runs over smoothly and leaves the ink inside of it, that's not a problem. These holes, obviously a hair follicle, we're talking about very small holes, they won't impede the ability to write on the cloth. So that's not an issue. Now, Eitvei Rabbi Yochanan the Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan challenged Reish Lakish. Or, Sheish Alav Kzayit Basar. So this is the same right that we brought before in the previous version of this Gemara. Or, Sheish Alav Kzayit Basar. You have a skin, a hide, that has a Kzayit Basar in it. Someone who touches some sort of a bristle string that comes out of it, or the hair that is opposite it, tamei. My love, why are you tamei? Mishum shomer. Must be because it's a shomer. It's functioning as a shomer. If it's functioning as a shomer, that's why you're tamei. It's a conduit for tumah because it is a shomer. Oh, no, that's not it. Mishum yad. It's not because it's a shomer, but rather because it's a yad. It's a functional handle for the basar that's underneath it. It says, Neima acha tamai chazio. What do you use a single hair? How can a single hair be functional to lift something up? Why is that a handle? Good Amar Rabbi Yuloh, bimilai shebin milayim. Like Rabbi Yuloh said, that we're talking about a bristle amongst the bristles. It's not a single bristle, but multiple bristles. We'll see in a second where his statement was said. Hachanami b'nima shebin animim. We're not talking about a single hair. We're talking about a hair amongst many hairs. So therefore, it's a yad because together with the other hairs, it can function as a yad. If you have a bunch of hairs, they can function as a yad, and therefore it's a yad here, not each individual hair will also be known as a yad, but it's together as a grouping that they function as a yad.
So the Zikat Amri is basically over the Shomer, and then yad.
Rabbi Yochanan before was, the statement, the Machloket before, and the first version was in yad. This version has the Machloket being in Shomer. So the previous versions, then we moved away from yad to Shomer. Rabbi Yochanan was trying yad, Rabbi Yochanan was pushing towards Shomer. And over here, it's the other way around. Rabbi Yochanan is trying to say Shomer, and Reish Lakish is saying that no, it's really Yad over here. Where is the actual statement of Rabbi Yuloh? We quoted Rabbi Yuloh saying, just like he says there, we'll say over here. Well, where is that just like he says over there? Aditnan, that's on the Mishnah. Hamalai Shab Shibalim. We're talking about the bristles on the Shibalim, we're talking about the on, the beard of the Shibalim, mitam'im, umitam'im ve'in mitstarfim. They are conduits for Tumah. They convey Tumah. They accept Tumah. Ve'ein mitzdarfim, but they're not mitzdarif, which makes them a yad, not a shomer. So malai l'may chazio. What is a bristle useful for? What is that? Why is there any function in bristles? I'm Rabbi Yuloh. That's the answer. B'malai shomer b'layim. It's talking about bristles, a bristle amongst bristles. I mean, it's not a single bristle. It's a number of bristles, and therefore they function together as a yad, and that's why it's a yad over here. It's not that we're talking about each individual one is a yad, but it's only because they're collectively together can use have that function. And that's where the original statement of Rabbi Yuloh is said, and we're applying that over here to our Mishnah as well. So now the Gemara is going to move on to our Mishnah to explain the items that are in our Mishnah. I have no proof. We have Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish. And in both instances, Rabbi Yochanan tries to bring a proof to his position, and Reish Lakish rejects the proof by saying that you don't have to say what you're saying. In this instance, in this version, Rabbi Yochanan said, I have a proof that hair acts as a shomer. And Reish Lakish says, you don't have any proof. Because the hair that we're talking about here is really a yad. And therefore, that doesn't prove your position. But that would mean that Reish Lakish believes that a hair can function as a yad. In the previous version, it was the other way around. Where Rabbi Yochanan was talking about yad, he was trying to prove from the quotes that he brought that hair can be a yad. Reish Lakish rejected it and said, no, hair is not a yad, it can be a shomer. In each case, we shifted depending on where the starting point was. All what Reish Lakish is doing is saying, I don't have to say like you're saying, Rabbi Yochanan, you don't have a proof, and I reject that proof. And therefore, the machloket remains. We don't have a definitive Tanaic work that guides us as to which position is right, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Alright, so now the Gemara is going to go through the Mishnah, and we had all these items in the Mishnah. Ahor, Verotev, Hakipa. The Gemara wants to know what each of these items are. So Verotev. What is this Rotev? My Rotev. Amar Rava Shumna. It's the fat. Now, Amarle Abaye. Abaye says to Rava, Hu Atzmo Itma Tumat Ochlim. Wait a minute. How could you argue here that the Shumna, the fat, is something that is in addition to the ochel? The fat itself, in its liquid form, is edible. And if it's edible, as Rashi says over here, Shuma namale litzterufe. Why do I have to be mitzdarif it? Tektani mitzdarfin litzamei tumat ochlim bahadi basar ha bifnei atzmo lo. That means by itself it's not. V'shuman amai lo ochel ma'aliyahu. Why isn't it a full-fledged ochel? When you have the fats that are liquid in a liquid form there with the basar, what's your question? Of course it should be mitzdareif, because it's ochel. Now we will get to in the Gemara in a second that it's not so simple that they should be mitzdareif. But at least on its own, it should be classified as an ochel. Ella, what's the case here? It's a case of chelev dekarish. We're talking about fats that coagulated. So they're no longer in their liquid form. They actually have hardened. So my area, karish. So what's the story if it's fats have hardened over here? Kikolo karish nami. Even when it's not solid, you have that same thing. Dama Reish Lakish. Tzir shel gabe yerek mitzdareif. The liquid that comes out of a vegetable is mitzdareif to the vegetable itself, meaning the vegetable juice that comes out of the vegetable is mitzdareif to the vegetable itself. Lit kotevet, for the size of a date, which is the isur of achila on Yom Kippurim, is determined by a kotevet. Kotevet, which is a date size, because Chazal had a Mesorah that was made of date. The requirement in Yom Kippur is Inoy. Tanu et nashotechem, you have to have Inoy, that the size of a Kotevet will remove Inoy. So that's the restriction against eating on Yom Kippurim. So if one consumes Yerek, vegetables on Yom Kippurim, it's not just the vegetable that we count the juice of the vegetable as well. So over here, if you're suggesting that the answer to our problem here is Chelab de Karish, that coagulated, the fats that coagulated, but it's fats that came out of the Basar, something that emanated from the Basar, that's sitting on the Basar itself. So why does it have to be in a hardened form? Even its liquid form, it should also be problematic. Now this is different than the shuman. The shuman, the fat, the liquid fat that's eaten by itself. Here, this juice that comes out, or juicy fats that come out of the basar, you wouldn't eat by themselves. You don't eat them together with the basar. But the Gemara seems to suggest it's only in its hardened form, in its liquid form, it would not. Now we have a statement from Reish Lakish in Yom Kippurim that says that a liquid that emanates from an object is considered like the object itself. So the Gemara differentiates between Yom Kippurim in our case. So over there, by Yom Kippurim, the whole issue is inui. So what we need in order to be chayav is that you are no longer mi'uneh. You are no longer afflicted. So there, b'cholduhu mitvadate. When you're in a state of being afflicted and you eat something, anything that you consume, doesn't matter its form, is miyatev date. It means it's miyashev date, makes you feel more comfortable, takes away the inoy. Hocha, in our case over here, it's mishum, it's derufehu. Here we're talking about siruf. Id karish mitzdareif. If it's hardened, then it's mitzdareif. Ilo karish. If it hasn't hardened, lo mitzdareif. So it's a very important Rashi over here. Look at the Rashi, mitzdareifim likotevet. You look right after the two dots in that Rashi, it says, umishani hatam, time of the Yom Kippurim, la mishum uchlohu. The issue on Yom Kippur is not that you're eating something that is edible, that's an ochel. Dinami lav uchlo. Even if it's not ochel, kevin de miyat vodate michayev. Once it settles your mind, if you feel at ease, that already makes you chayav. Da lo te'une ktiv. The restriction of Yom Kippur is that anybody who does not afflict themselves, they will be responsible. V'ze lo hitaneh. This person wasn't afflicted. Avol ochel, ochel umashke in mitzdarfim. Over here, you have a solid and a liquid. Solid and liquids are different categories. You want to be chayav for a liquid, it has its own shiur. You want to be chayav for an ochel, you want to be chayav for a solid object, that also has its own shiur. Dalo shavu shirayhu. They don't have the same shiur. Ve'afal gav, we know the halacha is by Yom Kippurim. Da'atnan, over there in Yom Kippur, it says, achal v'shata ein mitzdarfim. So what are you talking about, Rashi? Right? You just get this whole great limud, that the difference between Yom Kippur is we don't care what it is, because it's all about making you satisfied at ease. But here we make a difference between ochel and shtia, because they have different shiurim. Well, guess what? The same thing is true by Yom Kippur. Achila and shtia are not mitzdareif on Yom Kippur, because they have different shiurim. So that's hanam, hani, mili, ochel, vishata. That's only if he ate and he drank separately. Did kimlu the rabbanan? The rabbanan understood the lo mayatev date behochi. If you eat and you drink, or you eat half a shiur of eating and half a shiur of drinking, they're not mitzdareif, because with that, you're not put at ease. Aval tzir shal gabi erek, kim lehu l'rabbanan demiyatva. The rabbanan know that the tzir, the juice that comes out of the vegetable, together with the vegetable, that's not considered to be two entities, it's considered to be a single entity, and your miyatav date. But in the end, what Rashi says, kim lehu l'rabbanan, the rabbanan's understanding of that which transpires by Yom Kippur, what puts someone at ease, what doesn't put someone at ease. So in the end, we'll call it a gzera tekatuv. It's not really a gzera tekatuv, it's really a chachamim, who have a mesora or established or worked out that certain things work and certain things don't work. The only thing that matters to us in Yom Kippur is the lo te'uneh. Was the person afflicted or not afflicted? And that's the determining factor. Over here, by the case of ochel, we're talking about tum'ah, anything like that, the question is not a question of tu'uneh, lo te'uneh. The question simply is, do you have the requisite shiur or do you not have the requisite shiur? Ochel and shtia, food and liquids, stand separately, and therefore they will not be mitzdareif. Right now, we move on to the next thing in the Mishnah, which is vakipa. So what's the kippa? Gemara asks, my kippa? Amarova firma. So he says firma, I don't know if that's like, we would use the term terra firma, but the translation Rashi says over here that this firma is the sediment or the small pieces of basar that settle at the bottom of the pot. So Amar le Abaye, Hu atzmo yitmatumat ochlim. Abaye challenges Rava with the same question he had before, is, why do I need that to be mitzdareif? That itself should be an ochel. Why do I need it to be together with something else? Elamar apapa, tavlin. What is the kippah? The kippah are the spices that are used in the pot that settle to the bottom. So now when we're talking about the spices, they would not be eaten independently. The spices are there to enhance the taste of the basar. So together with the basar, they're classified as being edible or mitzdarif. They alone, stand alone, they're not considered an ochel, they are not considered to be edible. It's not hotam. We have a mishnah in Minachot. Hikva et hadam. If someone hardened the blood, coagulated the blood, vachalo, and then ate it, o shimchet achelev, or the other way around, he liquefied the fats, vigam o, and then he drank it, he swallowed it, chayav. In both those cases, you're chayav. So bishlama hikva et hadam, over there, when you hardened the blood, vachalo, and then you eat it, came into akfe. Since he coagulated it, he caused it to harden. Achshuve. That's what he considers to be of substance, something of significance, and therefore when he eats it, he'll be chayav. Elahimcha et achelev. If he liquefies the fats, vigamo, and then he drinks it, achila ktivbe. Wait, the restriction against chelev is you're not allowed to eat chelev. There's no restriction against drinking chelev. So why should he be chayav when he drinks chelev versus eating chelev? Alav achilahi. That is not classified as achila. Amar Reish Lakish, Amar Kroah, the pasuk says, nefesh. By the pasuk, by chelev, it says that a person, but it doesn't use the term person, rather it uses the term nefesh. The rabot et ashuteh. That comes to include anybody who drinks. As Rashi explains over here, if you look in Rashi, the rabot et ashoteh, midichtiv. Because it says over there, v'nichreta ha-nefesh, that the person who consumes the chelev will get karet. Nefesh, mashma kol dovar ha-miyashev dato shel adam v'afilu shoteh. Nefesh has this idea or concept behind it, anything that is of satisfaction, anything that brings you a ease of mind. So that's whether you drink or you eat. It's not relevant to a shiur. It's all about getting hana'ah, the benefit that you get out of this. So because of that, we say that that word nefesh comes to teach us that not only is achila problematic by chelev, but shtia is also problematic by chelev. So that's the obvious question, which is, by Yom HaKippurim, how do we know that shtia is problematic? Because shtia, bichlau, achila. That shtia is always a subset of achila. Why is the Gemara here going out of its way to find the limud to include shoteh separately if shtia is always bichlal achila? So that's what Tosfot asks. But he says, im tomar, v'lama likra, ha-shtia havia bichlal achila. Why do I need that at all? So he says, v'yish lomar, v'hotam b'mile de shtia k'gon yayin v'shemen, v'hocha b'mile de bar achila de memachilu v'shatiluhu. There's a difference between something that is lichatchila, a liquid. Then we will say about that item, you drink wine, you have shemen, zayit. When you talk about those items, they are in their liquid form, lichatchila. That's what you want them in. When they're in that liquid form, we're going to say a shtia like that is bichlal achila. Over here, we're talking about a solid object that was liquefied. When you take a solid object and liquefy it, we don't then say shtia bichlal achila, because that's not the normal way to ingest this item. It's a shtia, which is, quote-unquote, kalol kederach achila. It's not the normal way to consume it. Since it's not the normal to consume it, then we don't say shtia bichlal achila. Then we have to have a separate ribui to tell us that shtia, in that case, is bichlal achila. So Tosfos separates between regular shtia, what would be considered normal ingestion. In that case, that shtia is bichlal achila. But over here, where we're talking about a shtia that is out of the ordinary, extraordinary, there you need a separate pasuk in order to include it. So the Gemara now continues, Tami nami gabi chametz ki agavna. We have a similar braita by chametz in this way. Imcho vigam o. If he liquefies the chametz and then drinks it, im chametzu, if it was chametz, anush karet. You'll get karet for that, for eating chametz on Pesach. Im matzahi, if it was matzah and you wanted to use that matzah to be yotze, the mitzvah of matzah, so you liquefied it and then you drank it, in adam yotze ba yidei chobato ben Pesach, then you're not yotze. So bishlam ay matzahi and adam yotzei be yedei chavato bePesach. I understand that if it was matzah, you liquefy it and then you eat it, then you're not yotzei eating matzah because the pasuk says lechem oni amar rachmana v'halav lechem oni hu. This isn't lechem oni. Now that could be for one of two reasons: either because it's not lechem, that it's not the solid, it's asking you to be a solid object, or because it says by matzah achila. There's a demand for achila by matzah. You drink the matzah, you're not eating the matzah. So there it's clear that you're not accomplishing the achila. So it's one of those two reasons. Ela, but the problem we have here is im chametzu anushkaret. Wait a minute, by chametz, there you said if you liquefy, you are chayav for eating chametz on Pesach. You're chayav karet. Achila k'tiv bread. Over there there's achila, demand for achila. So how come in the liquid form you're chayav karet? It should be no different than the matzah. So Reish Lakish, Amakra, Nefesh, there are both etashute. Also, by chametz, it says, v'nichata nefesh, shahi, that nefesh that consumes chametz on Pesach will get karet. Again, the word nefesh comes to include shtia. Tam yinami, gabei nevilat of tohor, ki agavna. We have a similar case by nevilat of tohor. What's the din by nevilat of tohor? It itself has no tumah. If you swallow it, then in beit abliya it conveys tumah. That's only if you eat it. So imchau ba'or, what happens if you liquefied it in the fire? Tamei. If you liquefy it in the fire and then drink it, then you are tamei. Bechama, if you liquefy it in the sun, tohor. Then it's no problem. If you swallow it, you will not have a tumah from this nevelat of tohor. Vavinan ba, achila k'tibbe. We asked about it. It says achila by nevelat of tohor. It says you have to eat it in order to be tameh. Over here, you're drinking it. Why should you be tameh? So amar Reish Lakish, amar Kra, nefesh. Again, the pasuk says by nevelat of tohor, b'chol nefesh asher tuchal nevela. There, the nefesh is the rabot et ashoteh. That even if you drink it, you will be chayav. Where it says ihochi b'chamanami. Why, when you put it out in the sun and liquefy it, are you also not chayav? What's the difference between putting it on the fire and liquefying it and putting it on the sun and liquefying it? When it says, b'chama isruchay misrach. When you liquefy the nevela ta'ov tahor out in the sun, it rots. It does not liquefy, it rots. I don't know if that's because of the intensity of the heat. It's a slower process and therefore it rots. Or there's something about the fire versus the sun's heating that makes this difference between it causing it to rot versus causing it to liquefy and still be edible. Bitzrichi, and I need all three of these cases. I had three cases here where we said the same thing, which is, even though there's a restriction of achila, shtiya is still problematic. What are those three cases? We had the velat of tohor, we had chametz, and we had chelev. Right, those are the three things that we spoke about. Why do I need all three of them? The ikot of rachmana chelev. If I had written chelev, that's all the Torah had written. Chametz lo ati minei. I wouldn't have learned chametz from chelev. Shekein lo eita la shata kosher. Because chelev was never mutar. Chelev is always asur. That's not true of chametz. Chametz before Pesach was mutar. It had a shata kosher. If that's the case, I can't learn chametz out of chelev. Nevela lo ati minei. Shekein anush karet. I can't learn out a nevela because the chelev has a punishment of karet involved with it. Nevela is only an iser lav. Since it's only iser lav, I can't learn out of chelev that has a punishment of karet. So what's the next chance? What is that? Ikat of rachmana chametz. Just add the Torah chametz and we'll learn the other two out from it. Chelev lo atiminei. I can't learn out chelev from chametz. Shekein lo hutar michlalo. When chametz is asur, it's asur to everybody and everything. There are no exceptions to the rule. That's not true of chelev. Chelev has exceptions to the rule where it's mutar. But chaya is one of them, and the other one is in the mikdash, the chelev that goes on the mizbeach. So you do have exceptions to the rule in terms of chelev. When it comes to nevela, I can't learn that of chametz, because chametz has a chiyuv karet associated with it. Nevela is only a besur lav. If it only wrote it by nevela, they can't learn out of nevela, shekein mitama. Nevela causes tuma. Nevela is something that imparts tuma. Chametz, chelev, they don't impart tuma. They're asur to eat them, but they don't have an aspect of tuma. So chadami chadalo atyo. We can't learn out one for one. Maybe teite chadami tarte. Let's use a binyanav. We'll have two of them, and then the third one we could learn out. So hi teite. So which one do you want to learn out? Lo lifto brachmana min nevela. So let's skip nevela. Teite mihanach. And we'll learn out of the other two, meaning chametz and chelev. Malahanach, shekeinu nushkaret. You can't do that, because chametz and chelev have a common denominator, which is that if you eat them, you are chayav karet. That's not true by nevela tof tahor. So we can't learn nevela from that. So lo latov rachmana bechametz. Let's say, alright, skip chametz, and we'll have nevela and chelev. Betayt emyanach, malahanach, shekeinu loitalem shata kosher. They never are mutar. Chelev is always a sur. And so is the nevelat of Torah. They're always asur. That's not true by chametz. Chametz at one point in time, like we mentioned before, Pesach is mutar. So lo detoch rovmano b'chelev. So let's not write it by chelev. B'teite mehanoch. And then we'll learn them out from this. Malahanach shken lohutar michlalan. We can't learn out from that because chelev has this aspect about it that it chelev that's asur at some points is mutar. There's something within that point of isur that is mutar. Bechelev shutar michlalo. How can you learn out of chametz and nevela which have no hutar michlalo? There's no exceptions to the rule versus chelev which does have exceptions to the rule. Umaynehu. And that's what they want to know now. Your question that you were posing before. What are the exceptions to the rule by chelev? Ilema chelev behema ligvoa. If you're talking about the fats of the behema, they go on the mizbeach to a kodesh baruch hu. Nevela nami ishtare malikata of ligvoa. You also have nevela to of tohor that is mutar, that in the migdash, you don't shech the of. You do malika on it. Malika outside of the migdash would have been classified as a nevela. So you see that nevela is nitar. To be placed on the mizbeach, just like chelev is nitar to put on the mizbeach inside of the mikdash. Ve'ela chelev chaya. So what are you going to say that we're talking about the chelev chaya lehejot? Ve'ela nami shtari melika de chatata of lekohanim. By nevela to of, we also have a heter lekohanim. By chatata of, it's eaten by the kohanim. And you do a malika on it, so you have nevela to of tahor, that is nitar for someone to eat. Where it says now, the olam, chelev chaya lehejot. Chelev chaya lehejot is the exception. But the kashalach kohanim. You had a problem with the Kohanim eat the Chatata Oaf, which would otherwise be a Nevela, and it's mutar for them to eat it. Kohanim, Mishulchan, Gavoa, Kazachu. That's not a din in Hejot. They are really eating from the table of Hashem. They are granted their gifts as the Matnot Kuna from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So it's not equivalent, because it's not on Hejot, it's not on the layperson's level. You're not having a layperson who can eat chelev, meaning chelev chaya, and a layperson who can eat a chatat of, because a kohen, when he eats a chatat of, is not a layperson eating, but rather he is a functionary of a kodesh baruch hu, and he is basically granted a gift from Hashem to eat it. So it's really belongs to Hekdesh, belongs to Hashem, and he gives them the opportunity to eat it. So they're not on an equivalent level, and that's what the hutar michlalo is. Tosfot here has a question, and a number of these things here. Im tomar chelev nami have leshato kosher. First question is, didn't chelev have shato kosher when it was in utero? It does have a shato kosher when it's in utero. Tosfot rejects it. Probably for the same reason that you just gave that look, which is that by chametz, the actual chametz that we're looking at was once mutar, and now is asur. The chelev is different. When it's in utero, then it's mutar. But once the baby's born, in this new form, then it's chelev that's asur. At that point, from the time of birth, it was never mutar. That's how Tosfot differentiates between them. Then Tosfot asks about the fact that the vela also had a shata kosher when it was alive. When it was alive, it was mutar. Now that it's dead, it's a nevela, but it had a shata kosher. Tosfos says, Michayim, it has an itzur, Eiver Menachai. It was never had a shata kosher, because when it's alive, you have a problem with Eiver Menachai. Once it's dead, it becomes a nevela, so it never had a point where it was ever mutar. Tosfos mentions over here, Vafilu mandamar le'ivarim omedet, even according to one which Shaul was kind of pointing out, that even when an animal is alive, we look at it in its component parts, and therefore, maybe there is no din of Eiver Menachai. Hayaba Iser She'ena Zvucha. This we discussed earlier in the Masechta. Tosfos has a restriction called Eina Zvucha. There's an Iser to eat an animal before it gets Shechita called Eina Zvucha, not Shechted. And so Tosfos believes there's not only an Iser of Eiver Menachai, but there's a separate Iser called Eina Zvucha. If you don't Shecht it, there's an Iser that is on the animal. You could have learned, and we've mentioned this when we did this early in the Masechta, that zvicha, shechting, is a matir. It simply allows one to eat it, but it does not generate an isur of ena zvucha. Tosfot, on the other hand, believes that there's an isur of ena zvucha until you shecht it, that the zvicha removes an isur. Quote-unquote, removes the isur, not simply is a matir in order to eat it. you may be able to remove them separately. Again, when the animal's mefarkeset, when it's bumping around, maybe you can remove Ve'enes Bucha, but Eber Menachai might still be there. That was something that we discussed earlier in Masechta. I'm just pointing out, Tosas L'shitato here, is that there's an Iser Ve'enes Bucha. Mark continues now. Vada Tanya, that breakdown that we have, Hatmeim, when it comes to Shvatzim, the Pasuk says, Ela Hatmeim Lachem B'chol Sheret, Konogea Behem B'motam Yitzmad Arev. So Hatmeim, why does it have the Hei HaYidia there? Hatmeim, Lesor Siran, Virutvan, Vikipa Shelahem. It comes to include Sir, the brine or the liquid that emanates from them, the Rotev, the gravy, and the kippah, as we mentioned before, the sediment or the spices that are there. They're also included in the Isser of Sheretz. Lamali, why do I need this? Ligmar Mehane, why don't I learn that? I have three other places where I have the psukim that tell me that everything is included. That's, we have it by chilev, we have it by chametz, and I have it by milat of tahor. Why do I need a separate inclusion by shretzim? Tzriche. Eat kol kav derachmano, had the Torah not written it by sheretz, havamina, dayola, vomina, din, liot, kinidon. If I learned it out of the other three, that means chametz, chilev, and the milat of tahor, mahatam adiki kizait. The shiur to be chayav in all of those instances, it's a kazayit. They all have a restriction of achila. So they have a restriction of achila. Kazayit is the minimum isur. Avach nami. If I learned out sheretz from that, I would say that the minimum standard to be over would be a kazayit. Adika kazayit. And that's not true by a sheretz. Because by a sheretz, the restriction is isur achilatam, and their tum'ah is adasha, the size of a lentil. You don't have to get to the size of a gazayit, you only need a lentil size. So had I learned it out of the other three, I wouldn't have gotten to that conclusion. So v'leite hanoch, v'ligmur minayu. Why don't we write it by sheretz? And we'll learn the other items out of sheretz. Mishum de'ika le'mifrach, so malush retzim, shikain tumatan b'mashu. By Shvatzim, their Tumah is B'mashu. What's very interesting here that the Gemara says Mashu. Everywhere else in Shas, the Gemara says that Tumat Sheretz is Ke'adasha. Over here, it says B'mashu. Tosfot points out there's one other place in Shas where it says Mashu instead of Ke'adasha. And over there he says that it's a Ta'ut Sofer. Said it's a mistake. It's clear that they made a mistake. People were redacting, copying the Gemara. And they put a Mashu down. But over here he doesn't answer why it says Mashu. But in all likelihood, the mashu he really is ki'adasha. Because we don't find a mashu by tumat shretzim, we only find the shiur of an adasha. V'adatanyo, we have a braita that says, Hatevel, v'achadash, v'akdish, v'ashvi'it, v'akilayim kulan, mashkim ayotzimem kemotan. All of these items, all of these isurim, we're talking about tevel, something that doesn't have shemot masrot removed from it, chadash. Something, the grains that are before the Havat Omer. Hektesh, something that was Mugdash. Shvi'it, something that is restricted, Bisur Shvi'it. Va'kil'ayim, and these are something that was grown, that is kil'ayim. They, and Hamashkim Ayotzimim, and the liquids that emanate from them are kimotam, have the same din as them. Minon, where do we know that from? If you say learn out from the ones that we already know already, we already have four items that we know that's true by. Chelev, Nive La'ata of Tohor. Chametz and sheretz. Malahanach shukain isra bameilav. All of those other instances are a case of isra bameilav. You don't have to do anything for there to be an isra chametz. You don't have to do anything for there to be an isra chelev. You don't have to do anything for there to be isra nevelat of tahor. And you don't have to do anything to have the isra of achilat shretzim. It happens naturally. Those are isra bameilav. So over here. Oh, so your question is, okay, so we have a list of items here. Some of them happen by themselves. Rashi claims, V'tinoch l'malef menayu tevel v'chadash v'shvi'it v'ktilaya kerem. I can learn all these items out. They all come by themselves. Of a hektish lo ataminayu. The one that I can't learn out is hektish, because hektish is not something that comes by itself. That's what Rashi says. And therefore the Gemara says, Habatinoch hecha d'isur ba'me'elav. That works well for the items in the list of this bright dog that have nisur that come by themselves. Hecha d'alav isur ba'me'elav minalan. Where do I know that from? So Rashi says, the question here is about hektish. Tosfot disagrees, and he says that that's not what they're asking about over here. That the question of the Gemara is certainly not about hekdesh. Mashapir shakunjus to kulik kari isra abame lav lavar me hekdesh. Iof shalom markein. Ella akil ayim kamart. He says it's talking about kilayim. Kilayim is not an isra abame lav because you have to bring two things together to make them kilayim. Therefore he says the question is about kilayim, not about hekdesh.
What is that? I mean, fine.
And he says also by hekdesh, the word achila is not used. The only problem we have with all these cases is that the word achila is used. So when we have the word achila, we think it only means to consume as a food. How do we know the liquid's included? We have to bring a riboy. But if you have no isra of akhila, hekdesh is an isra hana'a. Isra hana'a can come in any form. It can even come in the liquid form. So he says, I don't need a limud by hekdesh. That's what Tosa says by hekdesh. And he says, the question here is about kilayim. The afgav dolk dibu akhila svorehi. The last retort, like isha isra be'en. That kilayim is only a surah when the isra is actually in front of us. So that isra must be a case of akhila. Since it's a case of akhila, how do I know that the liquid's included? Gamrina mi bikurim. We learned that out from bikurim. Bikurim gufayom min ahlon. How do you know that bikurim is true like that? The Tani Rabbi Yosef pri. It says pri by bikurim. Pri atamevi, bi atamevi mashke. Then when you bring up the bikurim, they have to be in their form as a fruit, not as a liquid. Hey, vi anavim darkan. What happens if he brought grapes and he crushed them, he made them into grape juice, into wine? I mean, how do we know that that still has to be brought up as bikurim? Tamalomar tavi. That you have to bring it no matter what. So you see here, in its liquid form, bikurim are still brought up. So we see from bikurim that the liquid is included. So just like by bikurim it's true, so too, when we have an isur that is not coming from itself, that's imposed, bikurim, you are makdish when you designate them as bikurim. So for Rashi, that'll be the equivalent of hekdesh, but also that'll be equivalent of kilayim. And from there we'll learn that liquids are like the solid. So Yikla Mikfrach, I can break that up. Mother Bikurim Shkein Tunim Kriya Banacha. Bikurim have a special process that is done to them. They require Mikra Bikurim, and they require Banach Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, that you place them down before Hashem. Elo, Gomar Mitruma. Learn that of Truma. Utruma Gufa Minolan. How do we know by Truma that the liquid form is this way? Did Kishli Bikurim. Because you have a Hekesh between Truma and Bikurim, because Bikurim are called Trumat Yadcha. Since they're called Trumat Yadcha, they are a subset of Truma. Bikurim are a subset of Truma, and therefore Truma and Bikurim have the same din. Damar Maru Trumat Yadcha, Ilu Bikurim. Malu Truma Shekein Chayv Ben Alav Mita V'Chomesh. How could you learn out of Truma? Trupadah has a Chiyuv Mita D'Bidei Shemayim, and if you do it B'Shogeg, you have a requirement of a Chomesh. Ela Gamra Mitar Vayah. We learn out of both them, Bikurim and Truma together. Mitruma Bikurim. Malu Truma Bikurim Shekein Chayv Ben Alav Mita V'Chomesh. What do you mean? Bikurim and Truma have a common denominator with them. They're both Chayav Mita Bidei Shemayim, and if you eat them B'Shogeg, you're Chayav Chomesh in addition. Ela Achim Mitruma B'Chad Mehanach, Omri Bikurim B'Chad Mehanach. We'll learn it out from Truma plus one of the other items we had before, or Bikurim and one of the other items we had before. What is that other item that we had before that you can add it? Rashi says over here, Mitruma B'Chad Mehanach is Chameitz O Nevela. You can learn it out of Truma plus Chameitz or Truma plus Nevela. Then Rashi goes through and only gives the example of Nevela. What's the problem with using Chameitz? Tosfos points it out right away. He says, I don't understand. He says it either is Nevela and Bikurim or Nevela and Truma. Nevela is the only one we can use over here. We can't use Chameitz, and we can't use Chameitz, we can't use Chelev, because they both have a Chiyuv Karet associated with them. So therefore they would share a common denominator with Truma and Bikurim. They don't have the same Mita. They have karet, and this is mita bidei shemayim, but they both end up with a death sentence. So that's the case, a common denominator, you can't learn it out. So you have to use nevela as the other partner. So Rashi, in his example, uses nevela, exactly that reason. But he mentions chametz, which is very strange, that he mentions that as the other option. Tosfos makes it clear that the only thing that can be used over here is nevela. Now, v'adetnan, that which we have in the Mishnah in Shumot, dvash timarim. Talk about the honey from the dates. V'yein tapuchim. I don't know if he's talking about apple cider or apple wine. The chometz sidvanit, and vinegar that comes out of the grapes that never ripen. They stay on the vines, they never actually ripen. B'sharminei peirot shel truma, and any other fruits of truma. How do I know that when it comes to these liquid forms, that you are chayav? Rebbe Elazar mechayev keren v'chomesh. Rebbe Elazar says that their liquid form, they're just like in their fruit form. And therefore, if you eat them b'shogeg, you're chayav keren v'chomesh. Rebbe Shua poter. Rebbe Shua says that the liquid forms of these items are not like the item themselves. But my pligate, what are they arguing about? B'domina, umina, b'domina v'uki b'atrik ha'miflige. They're arguing about whenever we have a gzera shava, or we have a binyan av in the Torah, how much do I learn from the other item, and how much do I learn from the context of the item itself? And that's the machloket. Because Rabbi Elazar savar, Rabbi Elazar says, don mina umina. I learned it out of Bikurim, and I learned everything from Bikurim. Ma Bikurim, mashkima yotz mehem kimotam, just like by Bikurim, the liquids that emanate from them have the same din as them that we saw before when we brought down about Bikurim, about pri, atamevi, atamevi mashke, but then we had a riboy from tavi. Af chuma, nami mashkima yotze mehem kimotam, so too by chuma. The liquids that emanate from them have the same din as the fruit themselves. Umina. And we learn from Bikurim. What is it? We learn from Bikurim. My Bikurim afilu shar minim. Just like by Bikurim, it's not limited. It's all minim. Av chuma nami afilu shar minim. So too by chuma, even other minim. Now the truth is that Bikurim are limited. Bikurim only apply to the Shivata minim. But the difference being that by chuma, the only two liquids that are mentioned in the Torah are tirosh and itar, wine and shemen. Those are the only two things mentioned. So what I would have thought is that you're limited. The liquids that are mentioned by chuma are limited to wine and oil. I would think that's it. So what I learned out from Bikurim that liquids are relevant by chuma. Well, I also learned out from Bikurim that it's not limited to grape juice or wine and shemen, but it applies to any fruit. Any fruit where truma is relevant, the liquids will also be relevant. That's the way Tosfot explains it. Rashi, on the other hand, says, Hadomino mino lab davka kamar. We say mimina milis means davka. Dahat marim bitapuchim gufayu ain't trumatan mina Torah. When it comes to fruits, truma is not from the Torah. In the mina Torah, there are only really three areas that have truma mina Torah. Dagan, tirosh, and yitzar. Grains, wine, and shemen are the only things that have a requirement of truma mina Torah. Everything else is midivrei sofrim, is midirabanan. But Rashi says it, domino mino means that just like by Bikurim, we see there's no limit. Every fruit that is chayav and Bikurim, the liquid is relevant to it. So too by truma, anything that has a relevance, well, over there it's only grapes and olives, their liquid is like them. Well, that's obvious. The pasuk says, tirosh v'yitzar. But the chachamim, when they instituted truma by other fruits, they did it kein doraita. They did simulate in doraita, which means, just like by these other fruits, they made it chayav and truma, the liquids will be relevant, just like it's true by grapes and shemen. So that's what Rashi says, it means it's lab dafka. Tosfot, on the other hand, I explained before, says no. That it's dafka, and we're talking about dagan that was liquefied. We're talking about grains that were liquefied, and therefore it's not just tirosh v'yitzar, but dagan, you can even do it on the right level. The other tzad, Rabbi Yoshua Savar, Yeshua says, domina. We learn from it, ma bikurim mashkimei yotzimem kemotan. We learn out from bikurim that liquids that emanate from the fruits are classified like them. Af chuma mashkimei yotzimem kemotan. So to my chuma, the liquids that emanate from the fruits are like them. Ve'uke ba'atra. But then we bring it back into the context of chuma. What are the only liquids that have the din of truma? Tirosh v'yitzar. So tirosh v'yitzar in midah achrin alo. The only time the liquids are relevant are by wine and by shemen. Af mashkim yotzimem kemotan. So too, when we take this limud from Bikurim, that liquids that emanate from an object are like them, that will only be true of tirosh v'yitzar. It will only be true of grapes and olives. So tirosh v'yitzar in midah achrin alo. Anything else would not be in that classification. But it's not in that mission that we have in Shumot. Emi v'yim Bikurim mashkeh. You're not allowed to bring Bikurim as a liquid. Ela yotzimem azitim u'min anavim. Only things that come from olives and grapes, so you're allowed to bring them in a liquid form. Mani, who's the author of that position? It's obviously Rabbi Yeshua. He damar domi navuki be'atra. So just like by chuma, he says, learn from there and then the context. By chuma, the only things that are chayav and are allowed to be liquids are tirosh and itar. Well, the hekesh back from chuma to bikurim to say the same thing. But gamalu bikurim chuma. It also teaches to Bikurim that the liquid forms are only relevant by grapes and by shemen, by olives. But it's not. And that's what we say in Sofkim et Arba'im Mishum Orla. You only get Malkot for Orla, Ela Yotzeim and Azitim and Avim. You only get a punishment of Orla when you drink a liquid when you're talking about olives and grapes. Mani, who's the author of that position? Again, Rabbi Yoshua, that's Rabbi Yeshua, Begamalu de Bikurim, Echuma. He learns out Bikurim from Chuma. Bahadur mighty la la orla pre mi bikurim. And then he has a hekesh, because there is shava between bikurim and orla from the word pre. And just like the word pre by bikurim means the actual fruit and not the liquid except for tirosh yitzar, so do by orla. You only chayav for orla if you eat the actual fruit, that's orla, not the liquid form, with the exception of tirosh and yitzar, of wine and shemen zayit. Those exceptions will be also chayav in their liquid form. Okay, we'll stop over here.